HDRDB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As a partial government shutdown over the issue continues, President Trump is now looking again for bipartisan support when it comes to border security. The White House inviting top leaders from both parties to a briefing today that will be led by the Department of Homeland Security. In Brazil for the presidential inauguration there, America's top diplomat says that the president's recent decision to remove troops from Syria is not impacting current relations with Israel. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo saying,
"The counter-ISIS campaign continues, our efforts to counter Iranian aggression continue, and our commitment to Middle East stability and the protection of Israel continues in the same way it did before that decision was made."
Pompeo speaking after his meeting with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And this is USA Radio News.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's health care costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. MediShare.com or 855-90-PSALM.
Mitt Romney is calling President Trump's character into question just days before the incoming U.S. Senator from Utah takes office. In a Washington Post op-ed, Romney writes that with the nation so divided, presidential leadership and character is indispensable, and he says that's where President Trump's shortfalls are most glaring. A mother and daughter in Florida are lucky to be alive, as we hear from USA Radio's Wendy King.
A 2-year-old girl was injured after falling into the rhinoceros exhibit at the Brevard Zoo in Melbourne, Florida. The child's mother was also injured, and both of them were taken to a hospital in Orlando. Zoo officials say the toddler fell through the cracks in the fence during a hands-on experience at the zoo. The snout of at least one...
Sorry for the old news, but just let's see if we can get the current weather, because I didn't was concerned that that might not be current, but it looks like it's the same, so it doesn't tell me the date. No, it does, actually. The last update was 4:53 p.m. today, and so the latest update on our weather is going to be a 50% chance of rain. And then rain up about a 90% chance, low of about 37 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, Saturday, another 90% chance of rain. Saturday night, partly cloudy. Sunny looks mostly Sunday. Yep, Sunday looks mostly sunny. And Monday, there will be partial sun. And again, there's a wintry mix predicted for Monday night. And Tuesday, chance of rain / snow, and then a chance of rain because it should be high of about 51 degrees. So I'm here. This is, of course, the sports guys. Our sports guy, John, is a little under the weather, can't participate today. But Bill Wolfson and I are here, and we're going to be talking about Wild Card Weekend. You know, people, be tolerant if you're not a football fan and you live with a football fan, because this is one of the more exciting weekends of the year. And, of course, there is a game, the AFC game tomorrow. Yeah. Not championship, the AFC game tomorrow. Wild card game is at 4:30 and then 8:15. The early game is the Colts versus the Houston Texans. And then tomorrow night, all you Dallas fans can watch the game with Seattle that is being played in Dallas. And then, of course, on Sunday, we have the first game at 1 o'clock is the L.A. Chargers against the Ravens, and that's a home game for the Ravens. And that's going to be followed tomorrow night, and we'll certainly talk to Bill about that one because that's going to be Bears-Eagles, and that's going to take place in Chicago. So one of the things tomorrow that's interesting, the first game tomorrow, of course, are the AFC rivals, the from the South.
The Colts versus the Texans at 4:30.
Right. And
you know, they're picking Houston by one, and some of the interesting things about that game.
Well, somebody's picking them by one, not everyone.
Well,
I
think Houston shocks the Colts.
I think
they run up the score.
Well, let me, first of all, each of the teams, this is their third matchup this year.
Right.
They each won one.
Right.
And they won it on the road.
Yep.
Okay? I have to say that my own view is that Andrew Luck, the Colts quarterback, is really excellent. I mean,
there's no question. He's come back from his injuries. He's had an excellent season. But, you know, you've got to figure out how much protection Andrew Luck is going to get on the blind side.
Yeah, but remember, he only had 18 sacks in this whole season.
Right.
Where Deshaun Watson, and I looked that up, Deshaun Watson was sacked 62 times.
That's right.
So that Luck, whatever you want to say, they are really pretty able to protect him, or at least he's been able to get out of those problems. I think one of the real questions, of course, is whether Eric Ebron is going to be able to be playing, because he had so many touchdowns. I think that's really important to see, whether the Texans Hopkins, I don't remember his first name. But, if he's, it's easier to focus on one dominant playmaker. And so that, that's going to be important too. But I, Texans pass catcher, Hopkins, is going to be, I think, an important factor.
He's an important receiver. Let me tell you what I'm going to be watching carefully, because you know how much I love line play.
Yes.
And I think that's where games are really won and lost. You can have all the Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Lux in the world, but if they're flat on their backs with a 300-pound lineman sitting on them, they're not going to throw much of a 40-yarder downfield. What I'm looking at is I think this game turns on a battle between Andrew Luck's blind side and the Texans' Jadeveon Clowney, one of my favorite names, almost as good as Aha Clinton Dix. Jadeveon Clowney, who finished with the second-best pass rush win rate in the NFL among defensive end and outside linebackers, and trying to protect Luck will be Colts left tackle Anthony Costanzo, who had the seventh-best pass block win rate among offensive tackles. Meanwhile, J.J. Watt might have an easier matchup against rookie right tackle Braden Smith.
Well, that I agree. I mean, I think J.J. Watt, all three. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And, of course, I followed the Watt brothers because they're from Wisconsin. They played, from Wisconsin. And I don't know, have there been three other members of the same family who've been playing at the same time?
Yeah.
I mean, is that a first and probably only? I don't recall of anyone else who had three players, the same family. playing in the NFL.
I think that's very cool. What I'm hoping is that we've got a serious battle here. I think luck will certainly make it a very close game. But, you know, I saw the Texans play the Eagles, and they're a good football team. And I saw the Colts play the Texans in the home game that they lost. And I thought the Texans had the edge on the pass rush and also on the pass defense. No matter how good Luck is, and granted he's got some very good people who can catch the ball, it seemed to me that either the defensive play calling was better or the skill set of the defensive linemen and the linebackers was better. And I noticed that Jadeveon Clowney seems to have a way of slipping between blockers.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And he is quick.
I agree with that. But what do you think about Watson? How do you think he matches up? You know, I still think that this is a quarterback game. Maybe I'm wrong, and I think you're absolutely right. If they get to Luck, it's a problem. I think the Texans then have an advantage. But, you know, if they don't, I mean, how do you think, how do you match up Watson and Luck?
Oh, here's the answer, I think. I think it's going to come down to quarterback skill set, which quarterback can read and get the ball away more quickly. And what that's going to mean is that you may have a lot of short passes out to tight ends as opposed to wide receivers or as opposed to slot backs. I think you're going to be looking. I think Luck is going to have a game plan where he's trying to gobble the field up 6 to 8 yards at a time with passing, and he's also going to have to try to establish a run, which against the Texans, the Eagles were able to do with Wendell Smallwood, who managed to find ways to squirt through holes in the defensive line, because when Foles was giving a look that he was going to pass, I thought the Texans were getting fooled in 3 out of 4 plays. And he kept handing the ball to Wendell Smallwood, and Smallwood was getting 8-10 yards. His secondary needed to grab him and put him on the ground. So I think if you're a coach at Indianapolis, watch the film of that Eagles-Texans game. What?
Oh, I'm sure they've done that.
Yeah, I'm sure they have.
But then let me ask you, I really don't, you know, watch AFC football. But I thought one of the criticisms of Deshaun Watson is that he holds onto the ball too long, and that's why he's been sacked for 62 times. I mean, that's a lot of sacks. And so
I'm surprised he's still playing, being sacked that much. You would have thought he would have had a serious injury or torn something and been out for the season, but he's obviously a very resilient guy, because to get sacked 60-plus times.
But also, doesn't that mean that he had – I mean, his offensive line can't be that bad. I mean, he must have been holding the ball too long and certainly not being able to scramble to get out of those things like Rodgers does.
You've got to get that ball out in 2 seconds.
Or be able to really scramble around and run around and get away from the defenders.
Or, you know – If you're going to drop back, you better be handing that ball to a back who is going to quickly find a hole towards the outside and then cut back in. Because if you've drawn in the defenders, and they're going to have to give you something.
Right.
You're going to have to open a hole. And usually that hole is either off a tackle or it's going to be where – maybe somebody is backed up because they're worried about a wide receiver burning them. And
you have to
bump
be
them in the first 5 yards. So it requires a wide receiver to be able to make at least one block so that
exactly.
you can get that running back up in
exactly.
there.
Exactly. And it also, you know, when you think about it, people have to, they really have to have great eyes to see who is giving them that little bitty place. And it really is, when I say little bitty, sometimes
it
the
is.
Way they get
it's
through,
8 inches.
It's just amazing. But they also have to be able to see it. And I think that's what the good ones do. I mean, they well, really see it.
I think Luck's vision and game vision is better than Watts's. Maybe I'm dead wrong. I'm sure there are people out there who will disagree with me. But if you watch Andrew Luck and you watch Watts, I think Luck looks around more, and I think he knows where his guys are going to be, so he doesn't have to look around as much.
But oh, I think he's an excellent quarterback.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, how could the Colts have someone as great as Peyton Manning, and then instead of coming in with a very mediocre quarterback, they literally
luck
out again with Luck.
Yeah, and remember, Luck was hurt 2 years ago, and he had only a so-so season last year. And this year, I think they're the wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a wild card team. So
oh, they're number six.
Weekend, they were number six.
Yeah, they were number six, and they're playing Houston number three.
Yeah.
Well, then the next, I guess maybe we should take a couple spots and then talk
idea,
about
Pat,
the next
game,
which is, of course, Seattle and Dallas.
Yeah,
and
I'm fine. Gonna be
that's
rooting
really
for
going to be, well, I've got some problems there because of, I can't do it. I can't root for Seattle. I can't get out of my mind that Holmgren left the Packers to go to Seattle, and that horrible, horrible game that was stolen from the Packers a few years ago. So we'll be right back after just a couple spots, so stay with us.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new...
For some reason, they still want to play spots dealing with the expo. So anyway, we're back. It's Bill and Pat. We're talking about Wild Card Weekend. We hope that John, our friend John Mifrida, our third co-host, is recuperating and hopefully listening to us. We know that he'll be back as soon as he can. So I guess the next game to talk about tomorrow, of course, is the night game,
Dallas,
the NFC.
Dallas
number 4, Seattle number 5, Seahawks, Cowboys. I don't know what you're thinking. I know that, Seattle and Wilson really, what I think about in this game is it's going to be a quarterback shootout.
That could be, but the Cowboys like to run the ball, and they've got Ezekiel, and the Seahawks really, really, really like to run the ball. And did you know, Pat, that the Seahawks have 2,560 rushing yards this year. They led the NFL, and the Cowboys only had 1,900. Still
wow.
Top number, 10 number for the Cowboys, but that's nothing. Seattle is getting almost 3 yards a carry before the first contact on the rush. And although Ezekiel Elliott comes in rested because he took off last weekend, and the Cowboys were 7-1 at home while Seattle was 4-4, I think this game is in Dallas, a beautiful stadium, certainly, better than the Cowboys deserve. But, people are predicting Dallas as a prohibitive favorite. And although they're favorites to win this game, their play at home has been good. They were in the top 10 in both offense and defense efficiency at home.
Well, I think what's going to have to happen, obviously, is Seattle, their defense is going to have to play at a very high level. I think with both quarterbacks, we're going to have to see how good.
Wilson versus Dak Prescott.
Yeah, and we're going to have to see.
Crazy about Russell Wilson.
Well,
I think Prescott's a better quarterback.
Oh, I don't. I think Wilson.
I like the way Prescott gets rid of the ball.
See, I've watched Wilson from the time he played at Wisconsin, and I've really
biased?
Maybe, but I think they're both going to have good run games.
Yeah.
They both do. And that's why I think it's going to be a quarterback shootout. Who's going to control that game?
It's an interesting point because everybody is saying, yeah, these are two good running teams. Seattle was number one in gains on the ground, and Dallas was number 10.
Mm-hmm.
So if that evens out, which it probably does,
you think that really will? They'll be able to?
You think it will, and I think
don't know. I just think that, the quarterback who has the advantage is the one with the better run game in this particular.
Yeah. Well, remember, the run opens up the lower passing
right.
Lines. And if you've got the defense anticipating run, the backs and the safeties are getting closer. Someone is going to get burned on a couple of long throws.
Yep.
Given the speed that Dallas has in the wide receiver positions, which I think is superior to that of Seattle, my humble opinion.
Well, I think Amari Cooper.
And I think
Amari Cooper is going to also be very important in this game.
Yes.
And we always talk about Ezekiel Elliott, and I agree. But I think that I want to watch and see what they do with Amari Cooper.
Well, you have to remember something also. A very banged-up Eagle defense with substitutions took Dallas to overtime. And the only reason Dallas won the game was Malcolm Jenkins of the Eagles went up for a ball. in the end zone and couldn't quite get it, but he managed to tip it. And it came right down at Amari Cooper's hand.
I actually saw that play. And that was like, oh, it was, I mean, I can see Eagle fans just like they couldn't believe it.
Oh, I was doubled up in agony.
Oh, I think everybody was.
And that's the reason Dallas is finished ahead of the Eagles. Now, certainly Dallas had a better record, but the Eagles, when they were banged up, when Wentz got hurt, when they were cold, and Wentz was playing hurt, they had that lull where they just couldn't get anything right. And when they got clobbered down in New Orleans by the Saints, I think it was 43-7 or 48-7, it was painful because you could see that the Eagles just did not have it together. And there was really a lot of talk about the criticizing the play calling. The defensive backs were getting eaten alive. And then they played Dallas a couple of weeks later, and they were winning. And then Dallas tied the game up just before the end, and they went into overtime, and Dallas got very lucky. So I think Dallas is vulnerable, despite how much admiration I have for Amari Cooper as a receiver. He's a very talented guy. But both he and Prescott got lucky that Malcolm Jenkins went up for a jump ball and tipped it rather than caught it, because if he tips it away from Amari, game over, Eagles win, because that was with seconds to go in overtime. So, and as you know, in overtime, if you get a touchdown, you win.
The of course.
Doesn't get the ball.
Well, in fact, that was, there are a lot of rule changes that I think are, sometimes not smart. But the fact that the overtime rule changed was so significant. I mean, it used to be the first team that got the ball in overtime, it was very easy to get a field goal and to win. Look, now, of course, they either have to get a safety or a touchdown.
Right. Splitting the uprights with a good
game. Right, and that's why that made no sense, because really the team that won usually, and I don't know if they ever did any statistics, but the team that won had to be at least 90% being the team that won the toss.
Yeah,
in other words,
exactly.
That was, as soon as you heard who won the toss, you knew pretty much the game was over.
Yeah, and I always thought that...
Unless, of course, it was the first game that the Packers played against the Vikings, where they went to tie.
Yeah.
Which was that the only tie of the entire season?
I think that season, but the Packers and the Vikings.
This last time.
The thing that I didn't like about the field goal wins in overtime was that the other team couldn't get the ball.
Exactly. No chance.
It wasn't really fair, I thought. On the other hand, for anybody who has a serious interest, betting or otherwise, on the game, or you just love your team, to see them lose because of a field goal in overtime and not have a chance to try to score as well, I felt cheated by that.
I agree.
Now,
that's why it was a good rule change.
Right. Now, I saw an overtime game where the teams exchanged field goals, and then the game ended in a tie because as time was running out, a ball was dropped in the end zone, and I forget who the teams were, but I was frustrated about the tie, and it may have been a couple of years ago, and it may have been like Bears Vikings or Bears.
Well, I'm blanking on the tie with the Packer Viking that game. I'm just blanking on how that happened. But it was, in fact, a tie. That's why they, you know, that was the first game that they played. That was at Lambeau. That was a tie. Then, of course, the second game. But the real interesting thing, and I know you want to talk about the Bears and Eagles, even though that's the night game on Sunday.
I want to talk about Dak Prescott and Seattle's third down pass rush. The Seahawks registered the lowest blitz rate of any defense in the league this year, but this unit led the NFL with 27 third down sacks. That's an impressive statistic to me because it means if they're going to blitz on a third down, this is really skilled because look what that means. You've got a very athletic defensive front.
So you're saying that Seattle had
27 third down sacks this year. That's impressive. Now, look at this. You've got very athletic defensive front. You've got a physical back seven who play with technique in their core coverages the Seahawks use. Now, watch for Seattle to stick in its single high safety looks while using twisty stunts on the defensive line to create pressure on Prescott. Now, Seattle faces a Cowboy team that has not won a playoff game yet at home. They haven't been in the playoff already. Now, the one thing I hope it doesn't go on here is I hope the referees don't take the game away from the players and make stupid calls.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing worse and worse calls all the time.
Yeah, there have been some exceptionally bad calls.
There was
one, who was it last week who they called a touchdown? It definitely wasn't. I mean, the guy was down before I can't even remember what game it was.
I remember. These teams have played each other twice recently. In two career games against the Seahawks, which Dallas both lost, Prescott threw one touchdown pass and four interceptions. And against all of his other opponents, he did pretty well. His quarterback rating against the Seahawks is the worst of any team he's played, and that includes the Eagles and the Bears, I think. So the key for Seattle's defense has been pressure Dak Prescott. They've sacked him five times in week three.
Yep.
And they had six sacks last week against Josh Rosen in Arizona. And Arizona's not a strong team, but, you know, when you put Dak Prescott on the ground five times in a game, you're getting through. And you're covering the Dallas receivers. Now, Amari Cooper is a great receiver, but if Prescott can't get the ball out to him,
right.
It doesn't matter how good he is.
And the same thing with Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, if he, you know, those are two main players that they really need to play. And I have not watched as many games with Dak Prescott, but, you know, he seems to me that sometimes he's really on and other times he's just...
He's not there.
Not there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think he's a fluky, streaky kind of guy. I think he's really talented, but there's been that inconsistency. I think if he gets out of that rhythm, he doesn't seem to have the resilience that we see in a Nick Foles or a Carson Wentz. Now, of course, I watch the Eagles more than I watch any other team, so that's what I have to compare him to. But I noticed that in the Eagle game, they were getting to him. He looked a little uncertain back there. And, you know, certainly you have to worry about whether Fletcher Cox is going to flatten you.
You do.
But on the other hand, when Fletcher Cox was double-teamed, I noticed Prescott was still holding the ball a little bit longer than I would have thought. So we've got some interesting stuff going on. But what about, you know, we're at the bottom of the hour, Pat.
Well,
let's
talk about the L.A. Chargers and the Ravens. I mean, that's a home game for the Ravens. That, I think, is going to be, one of the things that I would say is that...
I'm a Phil Rivers fan.
I like him, and I think the thing is he cannot get sacked. He can't allow himself to be, or the team can't allow him to be sacked. You know, I heard on the news that They expect that Melvin Gordon is going to be back. You know, he missed four games, so he's really important. And then I'm going to be looking, and I don't know, and I don't usually watch these games, but apparently it'll be interesting to see what the L.A. running back, is his name Austin, is it Eccles, something like that. Sorry, I'm not exactly sure. It'll be really interesting to see.
It's interesting. Finish your thought, Pat.
Interesting. I'm looking to him. And then, of course, the Ravens have this great defense. I mean, they just have this great defense. I don't know, Lamar Jackson. I mean, apparently, you know, he has good arm strength. I just haven't watched him enough to see if he is really as good as Phil Rivers, who I think is very good.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Chargers are a 12-4 wild card team. Go figure that one out. Because, you know, you go 12-4. I think
right.
Behind, you know, that's an excellent season.
It was. Really 12-4. In fact, it was amazing to me that, that they were only, what, fifth? I think that the...
That's right.
The,
they're the best wild card team in the pack. Now,
well,
the
interesting no. No.
I think they are.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the Chargers are 12-4, and they're a wild card team. The Chiefs had a better record, but they beat the Chiefs. Remember, the Chargers had big conference wins in Pittsburgh and in Kansas City. And this is only the Chargers' second playoff appearance in the last 9 years, Pat. So,
well, they were in San Diego and they were,
yeah,
you know, they were doing nothing, you know.
Yeah, and you know, maybe being in LA has juiced them somehow.
But isn't don't the Chargers? Well, they're playing the Ravens in Baltimore because don't the Chargers have this? Where are they playing? The stadium that they're playing? No, I know they're playing this game, but the Chargers stadium in L.A. is just some very small stadium, right? Right.
Remember the L.A. Coliseum? It was built for, I think, what, the 1932 Olympics?
Yep, whatever. It's a small, and it's very old, very small.
Or not, I kind of doubt it, but what we do know is that Rivers is going to have a problem with the Baltimore's pressure packages. The Baltimore defense got six sacks and eight quarterback hits on Rivers earlier this season. I remember they had a Week 16 win over the Chargers. We know Baltimore's going to drive up the defensive front to manipulate protection schemes. Rivers is going to have a tough time. He's got to identify the blitz very early in the down.
I agree.
And he's got to find some open guys on, because Baltimore is going to bring that five-man zone pressure, and Rivers is going to have to find the out guy first. He may have to make his third receiver choice his first choice because Baltimore's defense.
Oh, and aren't they considered one of the best?
They're one of the better defensive teams.
Well, I would think one of the two or three best, one, two, or three as far as best defenses. Never can tell. I mean, it's always different in the playoffs. I mean, that.
I'll tell you what I think this game turns on. It turns on self-discipline and avoiding penalties. Because, remember, we're seeing a lot of yellow flags.
Yep. I just think this year, in the games that I've watched, there seem to be a lot more penalties.
Well, you know, part of it is they want to avoid concussions.
But a lot more holding penalties.
Hug the quarterback.
Yeah, but forget the quarterback. I mean, I'm thinking a lot more holding downfield.
Too, a lot more offensive holding, nullifying plays, and the team that was the worst at it, and I think got penalized the most for holding, were the New York Jets. And I believe that that's a sign of a team that's not well coached, but.
Well, also desperate.
An awful lot of penalties.
They're desperate also. I mean, they really, you know.
When you're holding, you're hoping you're not going to get caught.
Right.
You basically blew your assignment.
And frankly, there are a lot of times where they don't get caught. So what are you thinking? Who do you think, Ravens or Chargers?
I think the Chargers with a much better record.
I agree.
And Phil Rivers are going to do it. I think they win by 3 or 4 points.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be close. I know somebody predicted 2017.
This may be the closest game because I think Dallas, Seattle, I think Seattle wins. If you're going to look at some of the Saturday games, and I don't know that I'll have time to.
Well, I think that really one of the more interesting games for the entire weekend, although, you know, I don't usually watch AFC, but I really think that this Colts-Houston game could be, you know, really, you know, very interesting.
Well, you know, as we said before, that's a game where both teams like to run. Both teams like to play real hard. And both teams play an intensely physical game. And that's probably the more interesting of the two Saturday games, although I have to tell you, I'll probably watch Seattle-Dallas just so that I can, you know, be happy when Jerry Jones scowls because he's losing.
Well, since I have a couple, you know, my daughter and grandson are Dallas fans,
well,
I'm going to have to at least zip it up. But I think the you know, there's so many interesting things about the Bears-Eagles game, including, you know, what's the name of the Howie Long's son who plays for the Eagles? What's his first name?
Pardon me?
Howie Long's son who plays for the
Eagles. Oh, I think it's Tyler.
Whatever. I mean, yeah. You know, the other son plays for Chicago.
Trevor, right.
I thought one was Chris.
Maybe it is.
But any event.
It's Chris Long who plays for the Eagles. I think it's Trevor who plays for the Bears. So you have brother against brother.
And they both are defensive ends.
Right.
And they'll be playing against one another. And can you imagine Howie Long, who of course
he doesn't know who to root for.
He's certainly going to be there, and he's not going to be able to root for either one of them. But again, the unusual thing of two brothers playing, and they play the same, they're both defensive ends, right?
Yeah.
And they're playing against one another.
Well, that's what makes this storyline kind of fun, doesn't it?
You know, it does.
You know what's interesting, though? The Bears' defense is really tough.
I'm telling you, I will say with, you know, Khalil Mack, I can never say his first name,
Khalil,
who was that edge rusher, the inside linebacker, Smith, and then Hicks. I think combined, if I'm right on my statistics, I think that combined they had 25 sacks
right.
In the regular season. I have to tell you, I saw Mack the first game with the Packers. Remember, the Packers won that game, but I predicted I predicted after that game, despite the fact that Chicago lost, that they would win the second game against the Packers and that they would be in the playoffs because I thought the quarterback, Trubisky, even though he was a rookie, he didn't play like a rookie. Granted, I think that's going to be one of the maybe disadvantage. Because, you know, this is the first time that he's there. Foles has been there a couple times. But the Bears probably have the best defense, even better than the Ravens.
Well, I'm not so sure you're right anymore because the Eagles
really?
Defense is peaking right now. You can, you know, if you want, you know, if you wanted to put these guys side by side, you got Fletcher Cox, you got Khalil Mack.
Yeah, see, you know the Eagles side of that, yeah. and I really don't. The only game I saw where I was so impressed with, even though they lost to the Packers, I was so impressed because it was no question that Khalil Mack was tired by the second half.
Oh, yeah.
But the first half, I thought, how in the world could any team have traded him to the Bears?
Well, here's what I don't get. They didn't trade him to the Bears.
Well, they let him go, didn't they?
They dumped him to the Bears. I think they got a draft pick or two. But he wanted a ton of money. And Oakland was not prepared to pay it because, look, Oakland, this is their last year in Oakland. They're moving to Vegas. They had cap space problems. They're not a particularly good team. They're not a whole lot of fun to watch unless you are a Raider fan from birth.
kind of so, like Jet fans, right?
Yeah,
you don't
exactly.
want to watch the Jets unless...
Wait. You know our new Jets cheer, J-E-S-T, Jets. Doesn't say much for the Jets. But I think Mac going to the Bears has totally changed the complexion of the NFC North. And I think... You've got two good defenses. The one advantage the Eagles have...
But wait a minute. You keep saying two good defenses. I thought the Eagles' defense was only ranked 30th. Now, maybe they've become much better, but I thought that was considered one of the real...
They were low. They were ranked low, but remember, they've been coming on strong, and Trubisky is not that experienced quarterback. And remember something else. Here's where I think the Bears' defense gets neutralized. Nick Foles gets rid of that ball faster than anybody else. I think Foles has taken 2.5 seconds or less to get rid of that
ball.
He really
has an advantage there. There's no question.
Zach Ertz, possession-type receiver as a tight end. Alshon Jeffries, possession-type wide receiver with good hands. You've got Nelson Aguilar, who has come up a long way. I wouldn't say he's their best receiver, but he's good. And now you got a healthy Wendell Smallwood, who can catch the ball. But because of his relatively small size and his ability to find holes and his quickness in finding those gaps, I think the Eagles can establish a running game fairly early.
See, I don't think the Eagles really can run against the Bears. I just don't think they can run against the Bears.
I think they're good. I think you're absolutely right about the Bears' defensive line.
Well, you know who I think.
Like an avalanche.
You know who I think an X factor is, and that's Eddie Jackson for the Bears. He has to be healthy.
Why?
I just think because. He's been very limited in practice, and I think he could be, along with Bush, they could be two people that could make a difference with the Bears. Don't ask me to go into why, but just, I don't know if he will be healthy enough to play. But I guess the other thing from the Eagles' standpoint is, will they be able to protect Foles from early pressure?
Well,
and you're saying that because Foles gets it out so quickly that they don't have to be that concerned.
Well, exactly. Well, they have to be concerned, but not that concerned. And the other thing I've got to point out, though, and this is a little spooky, the Bears went 7-1 at home. So
yes. Oh, they have, I mean, they always talk about home field advantage for the Packers, but I think that the home field advantage for the Bears is significant.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to be that cold. So it's supposed to only be
in the 40s,
which is, you know, really warm at this time of year.
Oh, yeah, and in Chicago, the wind
is the question is, how much will the wind be a factor? Because even if it's not cold, there can be a wind factor out there.
Remember, Soldier Field is not far from the lake.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There can always be that wind.
5 or 6 blocks, I think.
No, I don't remember. But the point is, wind is always a factor in Chicago. But it won't be...
You know what's really interesting? Finish your thought.
No, it just... But it won't be that really cold, icy wind.
Oh, you're not going to have an ice bowl there. But you know something that's really interesting? The Bears led the league both in takeaways and in interceptions. So you've got one heck of a defense there. And the Eagles have a real challenge in terms of the passing game, because not only do they have to be in a position to catch the ball, they've got to be in a position to protect the ball from an interception. So while you're looking at it coming into your hands, you've also got to be forcing out whichever the Bears pass defense.
Well, who was it? Who was it? What game was it this last? Was it last week where it was really interesting? I can't remember which game it was, but the defender was looking at the pass receiver, and he was able to bat the ball out without ever looking at where the ball was coming from, just from looking at the receiver's eyes. It was just amazing to me.
It's interesting. The Eagle pass defense has been practicing exactly that skill since early in the season, in the preseason. And what I've noticed is that the Eagle defensive backs, particularly guys like Malcolm Jenkins, who I'm not really that crazy about, I notice that on some of the deeper routes, although he's kind of watching the ball out of the corner of his eye, it seems like he's also watching the body language of the receiver. And he's...
Well, that's apparently so important. Up there.
Up in between the wide receiver's two hands so that he can bat a ball away. And you know, I personally am not, as I said before, I'm not impressed with Malcolm Jenkins, but he's a smart guy, and he's managed to make himself valuable by picking up on this. Additionally, what I've noticed is that the Eagle receiving corps, especially Zach Ertz, protects the ball from a defender with his body.
Well, and of course, that's also important as to where, you know, where it's thrown. And and one of the things, of course, that Rodgers is always so good at is you can't read his eyes as to where he's throwing that ball. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been fooled when I'm looking at the game thinking he's throwing one place and all of a sudden he's, you know, totally throwing someone else somewhere else. Well, because you can't tell from looking at his eyes. But you're right that I think that Ertz from the Eagles and it's going to be so important, and whether they can protect Foles.
I don't think Trubisky is that great a quarterback yet.
I think
he's a young guy. The Eagles have more playoff experience.
Yeah, but don't underestimate him. I saw him play his very first game, you know, as a rookie against the Packers, and I have to tell you, I was impressed. At, you know, the second half, he made some rookie mistakes, but I had to say, I think that the Bears could finally have a franchise quarterback in this young guy. So, you know, we shall see. And, of course, Foles has a lot to prove, again, coming into playoff just as he did last year. So that'll be interesting. By the way, one other thing is I've heard, I've been watching who the Packers are going to interview
For coach.
For their coach. And apparently they're going to be interviewing Brian Flores, who is the defensive coordinator with the Patriots.
Really?
And I think he also may have interviewed or going to be interviewing with Miami.
Wouldn't surprise me because, you know, a lot of people graduate from Belichick U and go on.
They talked about both the defensive coordinator for the Patriots and the offensive coordinator interviewing with different teams. I mean, it's amazing to me because I'm usually not looking at who's hiring coaches, but of course this year because of the Packers I am, to have eight different head coaching positions open.
Right. This is like a banner year for firing coaches.
Right, it really is.
Well, let's go back to the Eagles and the Bears for a minute. You know, the defense against Zach Ertz in the red zone is going to be critical for the Bears. Ertz had 116 receptions, including seven touchdowns from inside the 20. So what that means is that Foles is getting the ball and getting it out really fast to Ertz. So the key for the Bears here, they're the number one ranked defense. I think they've got to use outside linebacker.
You're right. I am right. The Bears are the number one ranking
defense.
You're
absolutely right, Pat. Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd have to disrupt Ertz right at the line of scrimmage, bump him, slow him up, and make sure, and then keep his linebacker or safety over top of him to limit what he's going to be able to do after he catches the ball. If they bump him and they slow him down, maybe Foles doesn't get to release the ball within that first 2.5 seconds. And I think the way the Bears are going to game plan the defensive play calling, is to do exactly that. I expect to see a lot of that. Now, that's the 4:30 game, is it?
You mean the Bear game?
Yes, 4 o'clock, 4:30.
That is.
Yeah, it's 4:30 on, I think,
on
NBC
Sunday.
Network.
That's on NBC. The earlier L.A. Charger game is on CBS.
Yep.
You know, interestingly, I'm looking now at the 2019 draft. The Giants actually are the sixth, and the Packers have the 12th pick in the first round, which
I
guess
is... This draft is going to be.
I don't either, but... well, now who will the winner of the Bears-Eagles game, who do they play? Do you know? I know that the Chargers-Ravens, they go to play the Patriots.
I don't remember. I think...
Will they go to New Orleans?
Pardon?
Do they go to New Orleans?
I think the winner of that game has to go to New Orleans. And the Eagles are much better than they were 6 weeks ago when they had that horrible loss in New Orleans. No, I'm a Drew Brees fan. I admire him.
Oh, I like Drew Brees, too.
I think he is a wonderful quarterback. But, you know, the Eagles are peaking now, and maybe New Orleans is just banged up. Candidly, I'm hoping the Eagles get past the Bears. I'm cautiously optimistic. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was like a 21-17 Bears win.
So then who does the Colts or Houston? I wonder who do they play? I would assume that they have to play Kansas City, right?
Let's take a look because I don't remember. So we're going to have to go to the
And then
the division rounds are going to be very interesting. Now, you're right. It's going to be either Kansas City in the AFC playoff, divisional playoffs, is going to host the winner of the Colts game. And the L.A. Rams are out there. And I think if the Eagles manage to get past the Bears, I think they have to go to New Orleans. The Eagles
I'm pretty sure that they have to go to New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't think they're going. I don't think the Eagles are going to the Rams. And the Eagles can beat the Rams. They've already done it once. And I think the Rams are ripe for the picking. I don't think the Rams. speaking, I think the Rams are a vulnerable team. As good as they are, as much as I admire how well they've played, the Rams have a real... they seem to have lost their mojo, for lack of a better word.
So then that'll be either Dallas or Seattle will play the Rams?
Yeah, I'm hoping it's Seattle because, first of all, I don't like Dallas. Second of all, I think Seattle-Rams is going to be a more interesting matchup because, although I'm not crazy about Russell Wilson as a quarterback, I know you are because we talked about this earlier in the show, but I'm convinced that Russell Wilson can pick apart Rams. I think the Rams' pass defense may not lend itself to playing well against Russell Wilson.
Well, it'll be interesting to